morning, saints. I bless you this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Ask Brother Mike Mabe if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer.
Bow ourselves humbly to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for giving us the traveling mercy to come here, Lord. We thank you for your mercy to give us another day, Lord, to gather together to worship you and to hear from you, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, that's why we're here, is to hear from you, Lord, to help us grow into what you want us to be, Father.
Yes.
Lord, let us cast aside things of the world and things that distract us, Lord, so we can focus on you, Lord.
Yes.
And this time we have together, Father, as the body of Christ. Lord, we love you and we give you all the honor and praise, Lord. We also ask for forgiveness of our sins and mistakes, Lord.
Yes.
That you would place them under the blood, Father.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for the avenue of approach to come to you, Lord. For we know you're faithful to hear us, Lord, and speak to us. And we thank you, Father. How wonderful it is to be with your children, Lord, and to come to worship you, Father. And we pray you'll speak to us through your servant, Lord, that's prepared itself this morning, Lord. And Father, we give you all honor and glory, and may you have the preeminence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of Luke chapter 19. If we would. Luke chapter 19. We'll start with verse 8. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 8. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. I want us to turn also to the book of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, starting with verse 12. John chapter 15, starting with verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the subject we took last Sunday was fulfilling the commission, and we were focusing on saving lost souls. And the purpose of what God has put on my heart is to dig down in those areas that we have to fulfill. And so God is, I'm saying, gave us a commission, and the commission is the Word of God, and we must fulfill that Word of God. And so it's not just part of the Word of God, it's the whole Word of God. And so there's things in the Scriptures, the things in the message of the hour that are challenging for us to fulfill at this time, but yet it is part of the land, if you understand. So the whole Word is the land for us spiritually, in the land of Canaan for Israel, but the whole Word, we must fulfill that Word of God that pertains to us. And so we were talking about the heart of having a heart that wants to save or be a part to try to save lost souls. And that is the most important thing in our Christian walk, or the desire of our heart, as we'll read further on here. But that's what God is trying to put in us. And if you look, we talked about the definition of the name Jesus and the name of Joshua, and it's a savior. And we know that the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. And so the reason why he came to save that which was lost is because of the love that he had inside of us, or him, for us. And so when we see the scripture there, greater love hath no man. No greater love right? Then a man laid down his life for his friends, and that's what Jesus did. Right? And so, you know, he just didn't help people, but he gave his life for, so that we might be saved. And so there's no greater love than that. And so Jesus exemplified the model or the example of the love that should be manifest in us. So if Jesus laid down his life for us, then the same love needs to be in us for others. You understand? And so we know that Jesus' life, he gave his entire life from the time that, you know, God commissioned him and he began his ministry. He gave his whole life, you know, while he was living, you know, if you understand. And so there was nothing of himself that he was trying to fulfill, no personal desire, but it was all to save those who were lost. And so everything, you know, he didn't have a nice place to live. He didn't have all the luxuries of life. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have a children. He didn't have all these things because he had one purpose, and that was to fulfill what God had to save that which was lost. Because remember, the whole plan was a plan of redemption. If we look at the seals, the whole seals showed that it was Christ redeeming his bride. And so redeeming his bride is to save that which was lost. So he already had, but she was lost, but he wanted to bring her back and restore her. And so the ministry of the bride of Jesus Christ is to bring back that which was lost. And so we look at different scriptures here. And so if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, and you see that he's talking about the mystery between Christ and the bride. And he says in verse 23, chapter 5, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And so he died to save his bride. And so we know that Adam died to save his bride. And so we, that same love must be generated in us and come manifested in us. Now he says in the message, Brother Branham speaking here, being that this is more or less a faith message of divine healing. Secondarily, our first motive of these meetings is to save lost souls. A body, no matter how bad they're bedridden, how sick they are, someday they've got to die if they've made perfectly whole tonight. But the soul, which is immortal, when it's healed, will live forever. Divine healings, many times it's said that healing services are just all the stress put on physical healing. If you'll notice, about 80% of Jesus' ministry was divine healing, but divine healing is like the bait that's on the hook. And so the divine healing is not where it's at, although it helps. You don't show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. So he gets the bait and the hook too. So that's what we think about divine healing. God sets in the church great signs and wonders to get sinners conscious of his presence. I know that God is real because I've seen this person healed. I've seen this miracle happen in this person's life. And it turns an unbeliever, that catches their attention to say that there's something there that's real. There's a God that's not just a God of theology, a God of doctrine, a God of words, but a God that is can do something here and now. Like gift of speaking in tongues, not for him that believeth, but him that believeth not. It's signs to the unbeliever, and today we have plenty of unbelievers. And so we see that it is about catching that lost soul. So the divine healing, the signs and wonders, it's all pointed to try to catch that lost soul. He says this, "And if your heart isn't tender before the Lord," remember, we've got to have tender hearts to the Lord, and sin causes our hearts to be hardened. And the Bible tells us that because of iniquity abounding, the love of many shall wax cold. And so we know that sin is constantly on the rise, constantly pushing at us in different things, and it's affecting the way our hearts are towards God, the way our hearts are towards each other. And if you look in society, that people will just kill very easily. They have a cold heart. And we know that that's going to try to affect us. But we've got to fight against that. And God's given us weapons to fight against that. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us prayer. If we can just stay close to Him, then we won't be affected by these things. But He says, tender, heart tender before the Lord. You know, we see things that happen. It should make us cry. You know, it should, you know, when we are hardened, when we see these things happen to the world and it doesn't bother us, there's something wrong there. If your heart isn't tender before the Lord, if there isn't something in your heart that just satisfies day and night, no matter what comes or goes, as Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered up. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not me only, but all those who love His appearing. Did you ever think of that? Love His appearing. The world is so dead and empty to you anymore till you simply can't have any pleasure here. Nothing but just winning souls to Christ is all you can get pleasure out of. And that's the state that we want to be, is that that's the only thing that gives us any satisfaction, any pleasure, is that souls are being saved, you know. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how much of this we have. It doesn't matter the comforts of life. But the only thing that matters is the doing the will of God to bring souls to Christ. Now he says this, and to see the church in a place where it's just emotionally, and maybe in another state, educated church that just thinks, well, we've got the Word. And so you can have the Word. And we're talking about the Word, the printed Word, okay? And so there's many churches that have the Word. And you can have the Word in a believer's church, a message church, right? And still not have the Spirit of God there. You can be so focused on being legalistic about the Word of God, being so too fundamental about the Word of God that you miss the Spirit of God. Because it's a balance between the two, the fundamental and the spiritual part, and to bring those two together. But he says, well, we've got the Word. Well, it says, the letter killeth, it's a spirit that giveth life. No matter how straight and orthodox you may be. And we can get that way with the message of the hour because you can take it in a way that it becomes do's and don'ts and I do this and I do that and then you're proud of it that you're doing it. And then you become self-righteous in doing it and then you become critical of other people and different things. But remember, the Spirit of Christ comes in such a way then, you know, the Spirit of Christ wants all people to be saved, right? And, you know, sometimes that we have different faults and failures, all of us do, you know, in some form of fashion, and to look beyond those things sometimes and seeing that, you know, there's a soul that's misguided. There's a soul that needs to be saved. There's a soul that's been being deceived right now. And, you know, the Spirit of Christ is to help one another, right? So he says, if you've ever been in that presence to refresh your soul before God, you don't know what real victory is. Until the burden gets on the Christian church for lost souls, we're fighting the air. I believe in gifts and signs and wonders. Why, certainly that goes with the body, but let's not put that ahead of love and lost souls. If this is so important, then this is where the emphasis needs to be. You know, and sometimes we can get... And the Word of God tries to shake up the church, if you understand, because the church gets comfortable. The church moves on along at a certain, you know, we come to the Word, we come to church, and we do all these things, and it becomes almost a regular thing, and if we're not careful, we just become complacent, and we don't have the fire. We don't have the drive and the burning and the lack of satisfaction. We're just... It's okay with where things are at right now, you know. And so God tries to shake things up. And sometimes it makes things uncomfortable. Sometimes you may say like, well, I'm doing fine. Why is he talking about that? It's the Spirit of God that does that. If you look in the Scriptures, you know, the Word of God came forth through prophets and different ones to shake up the church. To let them know that we need to be shooken up and to climb higher. And he says, so we've got to, this has got to be the focus. And I'm not there where I need to be. I know that we're all not there where we need to be. But you know that God, when we see something that's in the Word, then we have a desire as Christians to want to fulfill that Word. Because it gives us, a consciousness of where we are. And then we say that, well, I'm well short of that, Lord. You know, what do I do? And, you know, prayer does many wonderful things for us. If we have a desire, then we pray and then we ask God. And then, I don't know if we talked about this last Sunday, but when God shows us something and we have something in our heart that wants that Word of God, then we have a desire in our heart. And as we pray, then we're actually praying in the will of God. Right? Because we want that desire in our hearts, and that's the same desire that God wants. And so then we begin to have the same heart, the same mind as Christ Himself. Now we're fulfilling the Word of God, and then we'll get the desire because that's what God wants. You know, I believe it is a token. He says, when you have the token, and then He brings up the Scripture, you know, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will and shall be given to you. And he says, you're only asking for the thing that you are. And so you become so much a part of him, the things that you desire are the same things as Christ. I asked my wife not long ago, I said, I want to ask you something, honey. I said, what is real, true value placed on? I believe I told you that, though, the other night. What the true value, something that's worth something, meaningful. Nothing but lost souls is the only thing that's got any value in it. Money passes away, homes decay and go away. Everything in the earth moves away. The only value, lasting value, I'd rather have one soul in glory that I won to Christ, to know and see that light of God circles around that soul through all eternity, my name to be associated with that, than to have every penny of money in the whole earth because I have to lose it all. So this is something that's eternal. If somebody comes into the kingdom of God, you know, there should be a joy that comes with inside of us. And you can see that when somebody comes and they give their life over to the Lord and they're saved, and we know that they're saved, there's a happiness that goes on in the congregation. I believe it brings revival in the congregation. If more souls came to the Lord in our congregation, I believe there'd be more of a revival. Because we know that our church, the congregation, that God's here and God is alive and God's still saving souls until the last one comes in. It used to be that men and women used to pray all day. They'd go to church and preach half the night and lay on the altar the rest of the night. Find it today, and the Bible said, only mark those who have sigh and cry for the abominations done in the city. Where would he mark in Oakland tonight if he come through marking men and women so sincere about lost souls that they cry and pray day and night for the loss of the city? Where is it at? And so he's getting to, you know, where is their desire? And, you know, when we begin to pray and different things, and we'll try to get to, by God's grace, about all-night prayer, but, you know, it's a sacrifice to pray. You know, you get a text message, can you pray, you know, we have an emergency situation or we have this need that there's a prayer. And then, you know, sometimes that's a sacrifice because you got to drop everything, right? And now you need to get down because you want to take that seriously. It's not something that, you know, it's a formality or something like that. But when somebody asks you to pray for them, they're asking because they have confidence. And we've got to take that upon our heart and say, Lord, I know I've got all these other things, but what is more important at this time? And so to go to our knees and just pray, and, you know, it is a sacrifice, it is a dying, you know. And, you know, when we have a desire for our loved one to be saved, you know, a brother or a sister, you know, a family member, you know, a son or a daughter that's lost in sin, an uncle Ann, a grandfather, or something like that. And, you know, when we go to the Lord, it doesn't happen overnight. And so we had to labor. You know, we got to get on our knees and we got to plead with God, Lord Jesus. You know, I believe that the more that we do that, the more results that we'll see. You know, we don't want to just pray and just say, Lord, you know, if it is thy will. And you know, there's a way that you can pray that way that is really not the will of God. Because you're just leaving it up. You're being lazy. We're being lazy. Let's just face it, you know. And so if it be thy will, no, if we have a desire, if there's something burning in there, then we go to the Lord. And then we die out, you know. And sometimes dying out is giving up of our time, right? You know, our time is, you know, so precious to do all these other things. And, you know, at the time, many times they seem so important, but they're not. You know, yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to do all these things. And, you know, we have to live and things. But sometimes we put that so important above the spiritual things, above our spiritual health and our, you know, our spiritual walk and, you know, these things that God is showing us that we are to fulfill, you know. And maybe sometimes that we're delayed in, you know, the kingdom of God coming because we're being lax. We're being, you know, lazy about these things. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to skip over here a little bit. I'm going to go here. Now we're trying to place a revival. I read this on Wednesday night, but I'm just going to emphasize this a little bit. Now we're trying to place the revival just in the best setting that we can. We do not what we call major on divine healing, because divine healing is a minor, as we talked about before. That divine healing, those signs and wonders, they're a bait to catch the unbeliever. And you cannot major on a minor. We know that. So the great thing that we're after for any revival is to bring lost souls to Christ first. Lost souls to Christ first. Then revive the church back into a spiritual condition to where it should be. Close communion with God and bring fellowship among the churches. Third and fourth, to pray for the sick. And so he lays these things out as the order, you know, of our priority, this saving lost souls, and then let's revive the church back into the spiritual condition and all these things and pray for the sick. Sinners first, fellowship and with the churches and a close walk with the church to God, and then pray for the sick. Now he says here, and then the cool of the evening, he would come down and commune with them. And there he lost that fellowship, we know man did, because sin would not let him do it, and when he was made flesh and dwelt among us, in order that he could come back again to man and live in man and restore a man to a state of communion with him again and give him back his God-given rights. That's what he did. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. It's the Father again, God the Father dwelling in you, working out his plans to finish his plan of redemption. Working through you, making you a co-worker with him, giving you a place, giving you a part for your fallen, lost brother and sister. And so that's why the Holy Ghost is so important in our lives, because when we receive the Holy Ghost, that's the life of Christ. And with the life of Christ comes the heart of God. And that heart of God becomes manifest. And then that life that's in us begins to pulsate and to begin to express itself. And then begins to do the work of God. And so the things that God had in his mind that he wants to do and the desire of his heart, you begin to fulfill. Because he has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He has no other parts of the body but yours. And so it's the head, it's the Spirit of God, but he needs you and I to fulfill that word. And so the more that we can yield ourselves and surrender our lives and become dead to this flesh, then the more he can express himself. And he will move in such a way. He'll give us desire. He'll give us the desire to pray and to seek God and to have that strong longing and travail that's within inside of us. And then to do these things to bring back that which was lost, to guide us to this particular person. You know, it may not be just one person that God is really getting you focused on. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, Susanna Wesley, you know, she had all those children and different things, but perhaps her focus was on that John Wesley that would be that messenger to go out and save all those lost souls. Do you understand? But it is yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God that allows us to do the will of God. But the desire is there. Maybe we don't go to preach to thousands and millions of people like Brother Branham did, but the same desire is in there, in our hearts. And the yearning is there. And then we pray that God would make a way. And then we're just yielded as a vessel. Do you understand? Because Brother Branham talks about in here, you know, the difference between compassion and human sympathy. You know, human sympathy is like, oh, I feel sorry for you. And, you know, it's good to feel sorry for people. And it's good to have sympathy because we ought to be sensitive to people and what they're going through and their needs and different things. But there goes beyond that. And there goes a beyond that is fulfilling the will of God in compassion. And Brother Branham speaks that compassion is fulfilling the will of God. And so you know that the man that went to the man by the pool of Siloam, and, you know, he was there for many, many years. There were other people with the worst condition, but it was the will of God for him to walk to that one singular man, right? And so many times we get in our minds that, okay, I've got to save lost souls and I got to do this. But really, you want to be led by the Spirit of God, because it's the Spirit of God that gives you the desire of your heart. And there's the Spirit of God that then guides you into the direction that you must go. You know, some are called to go to be missionaries and do this. Some are called to be missionaries in their own neighborhood, right? But we've got to express and we've got to preach the gospel. And the gospel is the Word of God coming in power and demonstration. And so how is that power and demonstration? When you're expressing the life of Jesus Christ in your everyday walk, the things that you say, the things that you do, the decisions you make and different things like that, you are demonstrating the power of God. And so when people see that, they see the life of Christ, and that's a demonstration. You don't have to be calling fire down from heaven and, you know, laying hands on the sick and all these people, you know, miraculously becoming healed. Just your everyday life of expressing the Word of God in your life through the love of God and, you know, the compassion of God. That is the power of God in demonstration. That is preaching the gospel. He says, giving you His Spirit and His love to go hunt the lost, as He did in the Garden of Eden. Adam, Adam, where art thou? It's not Adam, you know, you need to come to my knees. It was God reaching out. God reaching out. You reaching out to your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your co-worker, something, reaching out, stepping beyond that, right? You know, Jesus, Moses, different ones, they stood in the gap, you know. Sometimes, you know, there's a gap for us to tread, to save somebody or to help somebody. And sometimes that gap is pretty big. And sometimes are we willing to go out on a limb and do that for that person, right? Jesus did. He says, when it strikes into their heart and takes its abode, there's a thirst and a hungering for lost souls. That's what's the matter with the meetings today. There's not enough Spirit touch in it to go for the souls of the lost and dying. It's more to make a name or a church or a building or a denomination instead of a soul-winning program. How pitiful, we could stay on it much. You know, we don't have to have a great building, right? We don't have to have all these things. We need the Spirit of God. You know, it's this the kingdom of God is not won by money. The kingdom of God is won by the Holy Ghost. And so God can give us whatever we have need of. You know, we just keep growing closer to God and fulfilling His will and yielding ourselves to God, and He'll give us exactly what we have need of. If we run into an obstacle, He'll put on our heart to have a burden for prayer. And we pray, and then God answers that prayer. But money is not it. Neither big buildings, denominations, and all these different things. He says, and we pray tonight, Father God, that you'll put such a hunger in the hearts of the people until all up and down these riverbanks will be prayer meetings going on, men seeking God in a desperate condition, knowing that they must find rest to their souls and receive the Holy Spirit. Seems like there's no great cry for lost souls. There's no more of that sincere all-night prayer and meditation in the Word. And we know that we're not where we need to be in that regard. But it starts with each one of us. We want to see it in our congregation. Let it start with us, each one of us. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. And let's labor ourselves and then get to this point. And then it starts to build, you know. May it build with our family. Then it builds with those around us. And then it comes to the congregation. You see what I'm saying? But it starts with each individual. You know, the backbone of the church is the family. And so it starts with each individual, then it goes to the family, then it comes to the church. He says, we have just drifted, Lord. Forgive us, O God, and let us renew ourselves tonight afresh in the Holy Spirit. When we think of the days gone by in the age of the Methodists when they prayed all night long and wept with bitter tears for the lost, and they had no peace, and tonight seems like that we can dress nice and sit down, listen, and go home unconcerned. We've done that many times. You know, we dress nice, we come to church, and go home unconcerned. Oh, Lord, stir our hearts tonight. Put a zeal in us for lost souls. May ministers and laity, every person becoming a part of the kingdom with a burning desire that we canvass cities and everywhere and pull the lost out of the gutters and get them as firebrands for the Lord. Grant it, Father. Remember, the eagle stirs its nest, right? And so God's got to stir the nest to shake us up and to get us to do the things that we need to. Sometimes we run into very, very difficult times and trials. And we wonder why those things happen. In our minds, we have a recognition that the Word of God says we got to go through trials. But when we are going through those things, many times we can get bitterness in there. You know, why is this happening to me? Resentfulness and different things. And so, you know, but God has a purpose for all those things. We know that, right? And they're doing something to us. But, you know, we might have some kind of bad feeling or just, you know, why did this happen? You know, or it was still difficult. I know what your scripture says, but, you know, it may be a year and a half, 2 years. But then you see what that thing did to your life. What it did is it shook you up. It shook you up to ask yourself, am I living, you know, this way correctly? It begins to make you to dig down sometimes. You know, we might not have prayed like we should have, but that causes us to go through a trial and a test where we start praying more. Amen. And Lord, help me in this situation, you know. And that brings in a deep, you know, you're digging way down. And that's what God wants us to do. Brother Branham talks about how it's digging down the roots and setting those roots in a lower place so that they can be strengthened, you know. Sometimes you wonder, it's like, this happened, but I see this in the Word of God. Then it begins to make you to dig into the Word of God. And then dig in the message of the hour. What just happened to me? You know, how does this apply to, and then you begin to really dig into those things. And so the thing that seemed like a curse or a difficult time is a blessing to you. Stir our hearts tonight. Put a zeal in us for lost souls. Well, look at this building. You know how this building cost $750,000 to put this up. You know, we didn't have it that way. Used to be down there at the valley. Look around. You find out all these great things that they got. Yes, sir. And they say, oh, we got all the big things. But they have no burden for lost souls. Doesn't matter how we compare it to other congregations. Doesn't matter what kind of building. Doesn't matter the size of the crowd and different things. And I read somewhere, you know, where Brother Branham, you know, many times he liked to go to those small groups. And there would be, you know, just a warmth there and a fire of God. And they would have such a prayer meeting there. We don't need big congregations. We don't need big groups and all that. It's not about trying to fill this place up. It's about reaching souls. If somebody else, if we can help them to reach a soul, it doesn't necessarily come in this congregation. That's what we ought to be thinking, because it's about souls of the kingdom. Not this church, not this local body here. He says, they're always wanting to show you how much building they got. Look at our Sunday school record, how big it is. What God does that do if they haven't got the Holy Ghost. He says this. That's what he said. But don't know that you're poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and don't know it. See, that's it. Oh, sure, they say, you know what? The little church we used to use in the back part, this is the big one now. And I tell you, no burden for souls. But they've got to see that all these things are taken care of. The ladies' aid and all these other things, all has to be taken care of, but no burden for lost souls. Those things don't matter. Oh man, what this church has got into, they were not burdened for souls, but they were burdened for wealth. I'm going to move forward here. I'm going to move, and now on Wednesday we were talking about different subjects. We were talking about prayer meetings. And I want us to focus now as we switch gears into all-night prayer meetings, because you know, why does Brother Branham talk about all-night prayer meetings, you know? And by God's grace, we'll dig into that a little bit more. If he said it, there was a reason for it. Many sinners just pour to the altar, be saved. And those who are without the Holy Spirit, be filled. That all-night prayer meetings will be in homes. And people being so hungry till meals will be set aside. And God give us an old-fashioned revival just once more before we see the coming of the Lord. And so if he's saying from his heart, and I believe he had the Spirit of God, he was a messenger to this age, and he desired that all-night prayer meetings will be in homes. So where's it at? Oh, I feel it. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm wore out. Wife said, you can't go another time. Honey, you're just about to fall. You're ministered all day. You've been week after week. You look awful. You're so nervous. You can't sit at the table. So Brother Branham is giving his entire life to the gospel. He's giving his entire life to saving souls. And we've read about it, how he would just extend himself in order to help save another soul. And so his wife's trying to stop him and say, you got to rest. You got to. And then she says, you're on the middle of the floor at night with a pillow in your arms praying for it. Said, you're so nervous. Stay home, honey, before you die. I said, but sweetheart, them precious souls out there to which Christ died for, I must do it. And that's why I'm here. I love you. God, reveal that to the people is my prayer. I'm not here to be seen. I'm here because I love you. I'm trying to shake you with the gospel out of that formal, moody condition that the people are in. Get back to God. All-night prayer meeting. Revival in your home. Revival in your soul. And this challenges me as a Christian. I don't do all these things like I should. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I pray every day, and I do this, and I do that, and we sometimes get comfortable and say, I'm being a good Christian. But then you dig further in the Word of God, and we're short, brothers and sisters. It's because we need to yield ourselves more. We need to give ourselves more to the Lord. And then these things begin to take place. Remember, Jesus Christ died for us. He died when he was in the flesh. He died on the cross. The whole life was a life of sacrifice. And Brother Branham says, a Christian's life is a life of sacrifice. And so that's the direction that we ought to be going, brothers and sisters, more and more of that. And it is challenging because the flesh is challenging you every time. And you know, the natural things around you are just going to challenge you every time to say, no, wait a minute. Hold back a little bit. You're being too fanatic. We've got to see what the Word of God says. I'm trying to shake you with the gospel out of that formal motive condition that the people are in. Get back to God. All night prayer meeting. It was a prophet Jacob who had done wrong and had lied to his blind daddy because of a birthright. And one day his heart began to yearn to go back to the homeland. There was a Holy Ghost moving upon his heart. And he must have thought all that time it was covered up. But when he began to get near home, he heard that Esau was coming out to meet him. Then he thought of his deceiving ways. And he prayed all night on the other side of the river. And so many times God brings a challenge in front of us. And God wants to see what we'll do with that challenge. And I believe the Spirit of God, the seed of God, will meet that challenge. You know, not by their own doing, but there's something that's going to reach down inside and say, there's something I've got to meet this challenge. And that's not you. There's something in there that's going, oh, I've got to do this. And the flesh is going, no, it doesn't make sense. But there's something in there that's pulsating you to do it. I believe that that's what happened to Tamar in the Old Testament. You know, I believe she knew it was not a good thing for her to do that, what she did with Judah, and offering herself like that. But there was something there. There was a seed that had to be made manifest, that had to express itself. And then she said, I must do this. This doesn't seem right. This is going to drive me to do that. And when she did that, she fulfilled that word of God. It looks shameful to the outside world, but that was the will of God. And then we know that the flow of the children of God came through that line of Judah. He says, and he prayed all night on the other side of the river. When he thought how he had deceived his brother, he called him to all night prayer. God knows that's what the church needs. I remember when the church used to call for all night prayer meeting. And when the sermon went forth, there wasn't a dry eye in the church. Everybody wept and cried out before God. And tonight it seems like it's so close that people just go on living any way they want to. And so the things that happened back then, he's calling for us to live that way again. If we can have the vision of those things, you know, a desire in our heart, a yearning, a travail that we're coming, you know, it's in the basement, in our room, and different things, and we're crying out. Tears are coming down. You know, there's a shaking going on. And then we've got to see more of God move. And then it spreads, and we say, let's have a family prayer. Let's call God. We look at the world around us. Look at all these things. We're fell short. God's got to bring this gospel to every nation. Look at the believers, how they're acting. Look at this and that. Let's call God on the scene. Look at our family members over here. They're lost. They're in sin. Let's pray for them. And it begins to move. And it begins to move more and more and increase. And then God begins to take more in control of our lives and, you know, our time and different things like that. We've got to stand. Let's all stand. All-night prayer meetings and the power of the Holy Ghost. Get back into the church again. He says, got to get back into the church again. That's what we need today. This good old time, St. Paul's revival in the Bible, Holy Ghost, preached back in the power. Yet the simplicity of preaching that's in the power of the resurrection. Amen. Let this word be in me. Let this word be in you. Let this word be in us. Be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so short of claiming the promises of God and the word that is left to be fulfilled, O Lord. And Lord, if we could just yield ourselves more to you, O Father. And Lord, less of the things of this life, less of the natural, more of the spiritual, more of you, O Lord. Lord, thy kingdom come. Amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, O Father. Lord Jesus, let it burn inside of each and every heart. Let it burn, O Lord, each one of us. We're all brothers and sisters. None of us are better than the other, O Lord Jesus. We're all in this walk together. We all need you and more of you, O Lord. Let it grow, Father, O Lord Jesus, as we lift you up, O Lord, and you give glory to your name. Dear Father, Lord, let your will be fulfilled, O Lord. Bless the service. Bless your servants, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, strengthen them, O Lord Jesus. The will of God be done, O Lord, in this next service, O Lord, the song service. O Lord, be upon the minister, O Lord Jesus. All things, O Father, lifting you up higher. For we ask all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.